It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You gotta love the people that you work for. Most of them. Don't forget, Royals Rally coming up. Josh Vernier will be there. Doing the show live from Royals Rally. And then he also is back on Thursday night, baby. The Hot Stove Show at 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. You're going to want to listen. Chiefs have nothing to talk about. The Royals have a ton. Vern will give you all the dimension talk of the walls, the statistics of what changes, the players that are going to be on this roster. Maybe, just maybe, we get to hear what the new season's tagline will be. Last year, it was the sophomore album. Also, don't forget, we are doing a Chiefs off-season show. It'll be Tuesday on February 10th. It'll be Bob, myself, Cody, Alex, and C-Dot all in studio from 9 a.m. to 11. That, again, is on February 10th, where we will do a Chiefs off-season show. A lot to talk about when it comes to what the off-season can be for the Kansas City Chiefs. Uh-huh. And you know, all of us hot air balloons here have something to say about that. Vern again tomorrow night, Thursday night, 6 o'clock, talking all things Royals with the Hot Stove Show returning to the airwaves on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah.
That's ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Hello. Happy Wednesday.
Are we sure that's not the kid who wanted the coordinator fired in Philadelphia?
Same kid.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah.
So I want to read this text out loud for my stepmother, Mary, who is a saint. And my dad, who is a worrywart every year in sports. But first, the question, Fesco and Dusty poll question. As a Chiefs fan, who are you rooting for on Saturday? Bills or the Broncos? 82.4% say the Bills.
Good.
17.6% say the Broncos. My stepmother texted me this morning and says, you should ask your father who he's rooting for.
Ask your father is what my mother
used
to
say. She said last week he said he could never, and I mean ever, root for the Bills. But we both know how he feels about the Broncos. So I asked him last night, and he never would answer. His response finally was, can they both lose?
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah, just say thanks,
so
Dad.
So that cues us up for the comments. I hope it goes to five OTs, and they both are to beat up, are both too beat up and get beat by Houston. We only root for injuries in this game. Come on, David.
All right,
then the meteor comment. No, but seriously, the national Josh Allen love is something I personally don't want to hear. I don't want to hear Allen has overtaken Mahomes as the best. Go Denver. Puke face, puke face, puke face. From Patty Newcomb. Neither. From MJ. How can you not pull for Josh Allen with no Mahomes?
That's pretty easy. I'm not pulling for Josh Allen. I'm just not rooting for Denver.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the thing that, like, you know, you get misheard because we got the final statistic from Logan last night. 15 hits would have been home runs with the new dimensions
for opponents.
For opponents, not 15 home runs were hit.
Yeah,
by opponents.
So 15 more home runs.
Correct. So there would have been 96 home runs.
That's what we never factor in the other side. It's like a lot of stuff. Like when they go for two early in the game, they never factor in, well, what if we miss this and we don't get this 2-point conversion because we want to make it 14-14 instead of 14-13 or whatever it is. And then you're at the end of the game and you're down 4 instead of down 3 where a field goal would have won. Like, people don't factor in the other side. I'm glad Logan did. That's good on him.
So where I go back to the Bills Denver game, I understand the argument if your argument is it was the Chargers in Denver and the winner goes to the AFC Championship game. There I would be like, I'm not rooting for anybody. And they'd be like, well, you have to pick one. I'd be like, no, I hate both teams kind of equally, but I really, really, really hate Denver. There's no denying that. But in this sort of matchup, why not Buffalo? I don't care what Buffalo does after this, because if you take Mac's narrative and Josh Allen wins a ring, then now you have Peyton and Tom in 2026 with Patrick and Josh. If Drake May wins a Super Bowl, then we get to have that conversation. Is New England back? Are they the better team now in the AFC? Mm-hmm. Can Kansas City do it? Can Drake May catch Patrick Mahomes when it comes to Super Bowl rings? That will be that conversation. I understand that if Josh Allen wins, there's a lot of people in Kansas City be like, well, they're going to say he's better than Mahomes. They're going to say,
of course.
But you know, in your dearest of hearts, that shouldn't matter to you because you know the answer. It's not true. So it shouldn't affect you that much. But one thing I can't stand to see is those effing Broncos in the AFC Championship game in Denver with their fake ass fans, with their fake ass team, with their fake ass coach, with their dumb ass quarterback. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that. Because what would you rather hear? Oh, Josh Allen, he might be the same quarterback as Patrick Mahomes. Or Bo Nix might have a chance to catch Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl ring.
Kiss my ass.
I don't want to see Denver win because I don't care enough about Denver in my life to watch them win. I would much rather see Denver lose. I don't care if it was Houston, if it was New England, anybody but the AFC West. I just cannot stand to see Denver be successful in the playoffs. And I want to see Buffalo win. And it just so happens by happenstance, it's Buffalo who plays them. Go Bills.
It reminds me of really a lot of the NCAA tournament and Kansas fans. When the Kansas used to get knocked out back when it was like the Big 12 and you knew who was in your league, Kansas fans always used to be like, well, I'm going to go root for Iowa State now the rest of the way because it's good for the league. No, you don't root for your rival. You don't root for somebody you compete against that you're trying to do better than a couple of times a year. And so on no planet should anybody be rooting for the Denver Broncos, regardless of what they say about Josh Allen. This is the way the media cycle works. It doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes isn't here. So now they've got an opportunity to empty their arsenal and go through all of the topics that they haven't been able to use for the last 7 years because Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were the answer to every lame question that 18 people sitting around a tiny desk are screaming about this morning on ESPN or Fox or whatever the station is that you're watching.
So speaking of stadiums, are they just going to stay at Truman Sports Complex and turn it all into that?
Wait, who, the Royals, you mean? Yeah, well, the Chiefs we know aren't, obviously, but the Royals, I mean, at this point in time, from what I've been hearing, it may be their best effort is just to stay right now at Kauffman Stadium. I talked to somebody in the state of Missouri yesterday, and I said, what's going on with this? What do the Royals want? And the response back was, all things that no one wants to give them. And I said, what do you mean? Right now, from what I'm being told by people in the state of Missouri, the Royals want more public money right now from the state of Missouri than they're currently getting. And Missouri's looking at them and going, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, right? And the Kansas thing, we know it is still kind of on the table out there. This is not good, guys. It really isn't, because it seems like now John Sherman may be trying to play one against the other. And when you try to play one against the other, it probably doesn't.
Single. I mean, that's what happened to me.
You said it, not me.
Sorry.
You know, like,
that's just the analogy I went with. Hey, yeah. Are you thinking about like taking the next step? I don't know if I'm really ready. And then she finds out her friends are out the same place you are the next week. And it's like, he's with another girl. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, so who's this other girl? It's a friend. Well, it didn't look like a friend from what my friend said. Well, then she finds out that you were with that, and then you find yourself at your home with just your hand.
Right. No, it's kind of like, I feel like also, too, like, I don't know that everybody's united in this. I feel like, you know, weeks ago, months ago, what it was.
Delta, Southwest, United, nobody's there.
Right. Like, you had somebody purchase land in Kansas, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, if you have somebody in your ownership group or whatever affiliated with the team purchase land in one state, and then you're still trying to negotiate with the, what kind of messaging is that right now? So I don't know if everybody is on the same page right now in what they're trying to do. But if you're going to the state of Missouri, basically saying you lost the Chiefs, you need us, give us more money than you're currently give us, is from what I've been hearing, that's not a great way to approach things. That's not the best way to do things. And so I just wanted to get done on either side of the state line because I want my team here, because, you know, we keep hearing about Nashville getting a team or Salt Lake City getting a team. That needs to be an expansion team. That doesn't need to be a team from Kansas City that couldn't figure out a way to get a deal done in either state on either side of the state line. So it's time to get this thing put to bed. It's time to announce where they're going, whether it's downtown, whether it's Johnson County, whether it's the Northland, and just get it done somewhere here in Kansas City. Because at the end of the day, we all just want the ball club. I don't care where they're located. I just want them playing here in Kansas City and not saying, well, we couldn't get a deal done here, so now we got to look elsewhere. They've got a great deal with the state of Kansas. Take the bird in hand. It's better than two in the bush.
Mm. So would it be out of the possibility that they would just try for the first time in the history of Kansas City to build in the parking lot that they have? Because if the Chiefs are gone, right, I assume that stadium gets dozed.
Yeah, well, yeah, that stadium, yeah.
And then you would have all that area.
That hasn't been developed in 60
years.
That's what I'm
saying.
It is a terrible location.
It's like believing in a team for the first time in the playoffs going, why have they done it yet? I don't know. Like, can Herbert win a playoff game and not catastrophically fail? Maybe now that he doesn't have Greg Roman, but can the Royals, maybe now there's not another stadium in there that is what we consider the older brother, for those of you that are listening, which always seems that the Royals are the little brother and Chiefs are big brother, the way things are rooted for and paid attention to, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
maybe now that Big Brother moves out at the age of 65 and you have the whole area, maybe that gives you incentive. Again, I'm just trying to make conversation.
And I will say this. There are three things in real estate that matter. Location, location, location. Yeah. That location is terrible. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows how bad
downtown
it is out there.
Downtown St. Louis isn't great either.
No, it is not.
And they built it.
And they built the stadium down there. And downtown Kansas City isn't great either, you know, with all the crime and everything that's going on down there. And people forget about the parade incident that my family was a part of. And we were talking about that the other day, right? That was 2 years ago now. And we're still talking about that.
But like, if dramatic changes happen and new people are in there. Now, again, you can go on the belief of what the past is and color me shocked if it happens, but you could say, fool me once, shame on you. Mm-hmm. Fool me twice, you know, can't you fool again?
Yeah.
But again, if that were to happen.
I think Nashville's a better option than redoing Kauffman Stadium and staying there. I really do.
I don't like that take.
Yeah, but that's how I feel about that right now. Like, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I feel better. Like, it's a better business decision to go to Nashville than to do anything at that spot where they are right now.
Yeah, I don't like hearing that. If I'm being honest, I would much rather them like rebuild that area, put a village in that area that you could.
It's a terrible area of town, though, dude. Everybody
right now
knows
it.
Yeah, but what's going to change? There's no housing around there. There's no people around there. You know, you're out here where all the people are. You're going to the people. People aren't going to trek out there from, you know, Eastern Jack or Johnson County to go do something at the sports complex in Raytown. They're just not.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get that point. But, I mean, if you build a village there and you build a stadium there that's new and advanced and you realize that you have something there that you need to protect, you would then hopefully think that they would go around and protect that. I understand that the area isn't the greatest, but still, like, not everyone's living there. It's like they're staying the night there. They might just be going there for a game and a hangout and then going home.
Who's that convenient to, though? Well, like, what group?
Me.
Yeah,
the guy you're talking to.
Yeah,
and all the people that live in my area.
But it really isn't convenient
to you. It's 100% convenient for me. I have to drive 12 minutes to the stadium. I know
that's a long drive if you want to go out drinking, though.
I don't drive and drink.
I know.
If I'm not going to, I get an Uber.
But you're very rare.
Okay. But I mean, I think there are more people that are like me in this situation that are listening that think the same things that I'm saying out loud. And I'm trying not to speak for everybody. I speak for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to people that do stuff with Surfside that say, man, it's going to be a much longer drive. I hate it because I also know all the back ways into Kauffman Stadium. I know the area, not just necessarily in the area of Kauffman Stadium, but I know that, you know, my house is 12 minutes away. If you live in Blue Springs, it's 20 minutes away. If you live in Green Valley, it's 25 minutes away. If you live in Oak Grove, same sort of distance. And it's just kind of what home is. And unfortunately, like, I like home. I like that area because it is right off the highway. There are side roads that I can get to that lead to that. And I would love them to stay there, and hearing them be the Nashville Royals would break my effing heart.
Yeah, it would. And I understand that would break all of our hearts right now. But the fact of the matter is that this thing has gone on way too long. They have an amazing offer from the state of Kansas, and now they're trying to figure out what they can do in the state of Missouri instead of taking the offer where, in principle, where a lot of people in the state of Kansas, when I was in Topeka, believed that it was a done deal with that team.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's just, and I'm talking about, like, you ask what's convenient for me. That's what's convenient for me. And that's what I like. And I don't want them to go anywhere else because I think that's awesome. But hey, we'll find out more soon on Stadium Talk.
Yeah. Midsummer of 25, Dusty, was what we were told.
Yeah.
It's January 26th.
In December 26th.
Yeah.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
All righty. The Jayhawks get it done just as the pressure's mounting. They defeat the Cyclones of Iowa State 84-63 at Allen Fieldhouse. Darren Peterson did play a decent amount, over 20 minutes. He had 27 minutes, 16 points. He was 6-for-15 from the field. Solid game there from what should be a lottery pick in this year's NBA draft. One word on KU.
Normal. That's what KU does. It happens every year. It's been happening for 20-plus years, 23 years now. With Bill Self, people, oh my God, it's the lull of the season. They're down. They're not going to be any good. Here comes the number two. Yeah, you go out there and you beat them by 20 points last night. Just throttled them from the beginning of the game. Never took your foot off the gas. Beat them by 20. Iowa State, that tight shirt coach, never had an opportunity to win that game last night. Bill Self is, I think, fourth best in NCAA history against top five opponents. fourth best winning percentage in NCAA history against top five opponents. We saw it on display last night. It's still Bill Self's world, and TJ, shirt tight man, is just living it right now.
My one word is selfish, right? You come with the king, you better not miss. You came in as number two team in the country. You got that Allen Fieldhouse feel, and you got beat by almost 20 points, if not 20 points. Game was over at halftime. Good for them. Equal amount of points throughout their team. I think there were four guys with double-digit points in Melvin Council, along with Darren Peterson. When they play like that, man, they can play good basketball because, again, you ride the guy that is the number one man. You look at Duke. They go through Cameron Boozer. You look at BYU. They go through DeBanza. But there are other guys that seem to step up. What was the narrative with the Knicks when Jalen Brunson wasn't on the court? The team seemed to play a lot better.
Yeah.
When Jalen Brunson's on there, they're like, oh, man, we got to get this guy, 30 points a night. You don't. He can have that every once in a while, but if he has 20 to, 17 to 20, I'm talking about Darren Peterson, and three or four other guys have 10 to 14, Kansas can roll. That was the team I think a lot of people expected to see from Kansas, and last night it was selfish because I want more of that for this team moving forward.
That last night was exactly what every Kansas fan wanted, but that's what every Kansas fan expects, and rightfully so. I mean, when you have the success that Kansas has had for 100 years, you expect to win every game by 20, regardless of the opponent.
And the gauntlet's coming for Kansas, so that was good to know that you can play a team like that and win, because that's in your bag now. You know you have that, so... The gauntlet is coming for Kansas once we get to about the middle end of January. BYU, Kansas, January 30th at 3 o'clock.
It's almost like when they have their top three player on the court, they win the game. Not
shockingly,
just almost win the game.
When players matter.
Yeah.
Oh, fire the coach. Yeah, Mason Rudolph was the quarterback.
They're almost beating these top 10 teams without their lottery pick. Oh, yeah. Wow, he joins back. They
shocker.
Beat them. Yeah, clinic.
Players determine outcomes of games.
Unbelievable. Two decades of success.
It's a player's game. It always has been. Whatever game it is, it's a player's game. It will always come down to the players.
2 decades of success and legacy, and still going to question that guy. It's crazy to me. Pittsburgh, done questioning Mike Tomlin after 19 years. He is out. That was the big news of yesterday. We'll start before we get to the Ravens owner's audio, because I've got a couple of clips there that I want to play from Steve Bisciotti. First, one word on Mike Tomlin.
Stud. Do whatever you want, man. Like, I love Mike Tomlin. I hate that the NFL is without Mike Tomlin right now. He's just a tremendous, tremendous coach. He's a tremendous motivator. He's a tremendous leader. I can't wait to see him for a year on television and then see where he ends up. But once you get that TV taste and you get that check from TV and you realize none of what you says matters and it doesn't mean a damn thing and there's no stress, he may never go back to coaching again. And if he doesn't ever go back to coaching again, he had one hell of a run. I love Mike Tomlin, and I am going to miss him dearly. I love that man.
Why don't you marry him?
I wish I could.
Get a room. No, I'm kidding. I think my one word for Mike Tomlin is TV, and my other word would be wait. Got to think, if there's 9 jobs opening this year, there'll be 5 or 6 next year, and you can have your pick, and you could be the Ben Johnson in waiting that he was, where he's like, no, I'm good. I'm all right. Or the magic happens, and they just do a wife swap, and you get Tomlin in Baltimore, and you get Harbaugh in Pittsburgh, and we get to sit back and not even have to produce a show. We could just talk about that for 4 hours. But my one word would be wait. I think he'll be great on TV, and then he'll find out that Bill Cowher made the right move as well when he left Pittsburgh and said, I'm never doing that again. Because if we're going to get quotes like, if my aunt had a male part, she'd be my uncle.
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
You get that on Fox before a game? Locked.
What do you think Gronk would do? I mean, Gronk got so excited yesterday when somebody used
even
69
me, though,
yards.
That's funny.
No, but somebody said something on the pregame show about 69 yards, and like 10 seconds later, they showed Gronk, his face was still red. Yeah, I was like, Gronk just in on this, man. It's just, he is who he is, right? And so, so Tomlin's got a year, unless somebody's going to offer a big bounty of a trade. But I don't even know if the number one overall pick this year is worth it, quite frankly. This feels like a draft where you got the number one pick. Who wants it? Kind of like when we had Eric Fisher, Even though he was a great player, they tried to trade that pick, but there wasn't that clear-cut number one. Everybody loves Fernando Mendoza because he's been fun in college football, and it's a great post-game thing, and he's a rah-rah guy. I don't know if that shtick plays in the NFL, man. I really don't.
Yeah, watch out next year for Cincinnati or Washington. Those are my two guesses for Tomlin. Steve Bisciotti was asked about Tomlin when he heard of the news in his press conference.
And at Pittsburgh.
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So, is he a candidate here?
Holy Mike, wouldn't that be awesome?
How about there? One word from Steve Bisciotti reacting to Tomlin news.
I listened to that yesterday, and I stood up, and I went, I want him. I want Steve Bisciotti, man. Like, Harbaugh was the coach before Bisciotti bought the team. And the whole story that he told yesterday, because I thought about, you know, firing him, it came to a conclusion, and I called him. He was already on his way home, so I just did it over the phone. I didn't want him to have to come back to the office and whatnot. But look, both Pittsburgh and Baltimore probably both need to go their separate ways, you know, at this point in time. Both coaches kind of need to go their separate ways. It's okay to have a break. But I like that out of Steve Bisciotti yesterday. Game recognizing game right there, man. Like, that's what that's all about. And the thick Baltimore accent. So good.
My one word would be wholesome. I mean, that's a moment your franchise hasn't had in 18 years. That's a division that lost three coaches, three of which still have their jobs, if you want to say so. And yet the one guy that still has his job is the guy that shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe it's a hot take, but I woke up in a new Bisciotti, right? Like, that guy, I had no idea who that guy was until yesterday. And I was like, Bob, I was like, that's the quote of the year. I know we're only 14 days. We had the sunrise of the year yesterday. Mm-hmm. We had the quote of the year in sports yesterday.
Didn't we get the quote of the year early last year, too? There was something that popped really early last year. I forget what it was now.
Well, it was after this. Was it after the Super Bowl or after the draft where Dan Orlovsky said that Jalen Hurts and Bill Bell and
That's right. It was the start of the season.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yesterday was like one of those moments where like any other stick in the mud would have been like, we're not talking about that today, okay? And he just drops a, oh, are you serious? Wouldn't that be awesome? You're like, dude, that was awesome because it was me. That's how I would have responded.
Yeah, I think we all would have responded. You're up there giving a press conference about this legendary coach that you just had to let go. It's a sad day. Like, it wasn't easy. And then, hey, Coach, or Mr. Bisciotti, whatever your name is, Steve, Mike Tomlin just quit at Pittsburgh. Is he, what?
Holy, that'd be awesome.
And then Brooke Pryor just said that's not the time to give that question on the press conference.
Bisciotti was asked about Harbaugh and if he'd still be there if that kick went in.
If Tyler Loop makes that field goal, is John Harbaugh still here coaching this team?
For a week.
For a week. Okay.
That's great.
It's honesty. What a great answer. For like, a week? And that's the right answer. And that's the right answer. Once you've made up your mind as the owner that it's time to move on, or in a relationship, you've dated people and whatnot, and you know, whatever relationships it is, job, life, whatever. You get to the end and you're just like, it's time to move on. It's really a great time for me to move on and do something different. And that's kind of where they were. And you know, it's okay to have that. After 18 years in the NFL, how many coaches has John Harbaugh seen come and go in the NFL in his 18 years? I bet you the number's well over 100. It has to be, right? Because every team has changed coaches. Probably.
No, hell. It has to be.
I mean, how many coaches have the Chiefs had since John Harbaugh? Obviously, Andy, Romeo, Haley, Herm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Herm was here, what, until 09?
Yeah.
And Harbaugh's been there since 08?
So the Chiefs alone have had four coaches, and their guy's been tenured for 13 years.
And Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in all that time. either way, coming up next, all things not sports. Sorry. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are the modern-day Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.